This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. So Coach Brewer joining us today. Obviously, you have a deep history of college football experience in general. Attended and played at Wake Forest. You did SNC there, GA at Ole Miss, East Tennessee State, Northwest Mississippi JUCO, Marshall, UNC, Oklahoma State, UNC again, Ole Miss again, Eagles, Louisville, Maryland, and now Virginia Tech. So, you know, just to go down, like your guys you've coached, your who's list is crazy, right? You got like Randy Moss. You were at UNC with Ronald Curry. Justin Blackman, who was the two-time Biletnikoff winner, Dez Bryant, Mitch Trubisky, Alshon Jeffrey, Tutu Atwell, Des Fitzpatrick. I mean, you've coached a ton of people, and now you're at Virginia Tech. So let's talk about quick that transition. What brought you to Virginia Tech?
Well, first of all, people make the place, and I'm blessed to be with great people here. I've seen it from afar. You know, I've had a couple connections with people on the staff, being Stu Holt. We worked together at Louisville. DJ played for my dad at Ole Miss. We've been knowing each other a long time. Of course, the connection with Tyler and Marilyn, with Tori and a few other people that are teammates of each other. Coach Pry's dad and one of my best friends are good friends. And, you know, it's just the coaching world is just, you're just about, you know, 3 seconds apart from knowing somebody. So it's very unique. Obviously, being in ACC for a very long time, you know, knowing this program, seeing it at, you know, its heights. So just a lot of respect for the people here. It's a great area. My first job was at East Tennessee State, which is right down the road. Obviously, a very small program, but this part of the country is unique. People are fantastic. So, you know, I'm looking forward to being a part of working with JJ and in this role. So, you know, we're going to double team this thing and bring a new flavor to Blacksburg.
In the press conference this morning, Coach Pry, he really emphasized he didn't understand when James Johnson came in the importance of not only just building high school relations, but having another recruiter and how important that is to go touch more kids and how you can really just go out and kind of just go see more people and have more hands on deck. What does it mean to be in this position along James Johnson, and how exciting is it for you to kind of transition out of that on the field role into this?
I tell you what's pretty cool is life's about relationships, and the ones that you build that are lasting, you know, are unique. And those people that you cross paths with, whether it's their kids, like with Moss, I recruited his son, and then, you know, seeing him develop into a premier announcer, and you find people on campus you run into that you didn't know that knew somebody, but being able to work with people that have known people that you've known, like JJ and I are a little bit longer in the tooth, and we've had more experiences than some of the guys on the staff, and you can relate to some players and players' parents and recruits' parents, and you know, you need a flavor out there, like JJ is with basketball. You're putting five out there where you don't need five centers. You don't need five point guards. You know, you need a point guard. You need a power forward. You need a center. You need some guys that can shoot the ball. And same thing with offense. You don't need, you know, five little guys that are running around trying to make plays. You got to have a quarterback. You got to have an offensive tackle. And you need a good mixture to be successful. And that's what this program's been in the past, is in the future, and is right now. So the people in this building are very special. The kids are very special. So you're going to see something very unique, I think, here in the coming years.
Having the experience that you have as a coach and a college football recruiter, everybody's seen it. If anybody that hasn't seen it is living under a rock. College football has changed in the last couple of years. Obviously, the recruiting calendar sped up. The importance of NIL and all of those things that come with it. How do you feel that recruiting has changed for the better? And what do you feel, as somebody that's been in the grind daily, do you feel is the hardest part of recruiting now?
Well, it has changed quite a bit. I've seen it come almost full circle. So, and a lot like in the NFL, a little bit of time I was there, a lot of it's free agency. So what you have is guys being migratory, moving from program to program because of whether it be opportunity or whether it be financial opportunity. So NIL has changed this piece too. You know, but the programs that are successful are the ones who are able to retain their people, much like whether it be a school or a business, you want to retain your people. So that's very important. And that deals with culture, how you treat people when they come on campus, how they're treated as a player here and as an alumni. So that's very important. That's one thing this program has, a lot of proud alumni, very special people. So that's going to help as you're moving forward. The recruiting process has really changed how they look at it. So you got to change too. So the piece of NIL is something special. But when you enter the stadium and the crowd that you have, that entrance is, you know, obviously tops in the nation, in my opinion, having played here before, being a visitor. And that's a tough thing to enter into. So the crowd and the people and the support make it very unique. And that's what kids want. They want to run out there and see people that support them. And the rest of it takes care of itself. If you're a playmaker, you make plays, you'll benefit from that in a lot of ways, whether it be NLI or would be All-American status, whatever that may be. You'll get yours when you get to that point. The NFL will find you no matter where you are.
Coach, you mentioned that retention and how important it is. And maybe what's the most important thing in recruiting top-end high talent, but also making sure their good culture fits there at Virginia Tech so that you can retain them? Good locker room guys as well.
Yeah, I think you've got to be able to be satisfied with not taking some guys that don't fit your business model. And be okay with that. And that's hard for fans sometimes. But like I said, you can't have three quarterbacks that all are your number one guy. There's your QB1, QB2, and QB3. If you have a big problem with that, then you're not going to be very successful on offense. So it's a culture thing that as you recruit people, you recruit it to a style of play. You know, it's a lunch pail mentality. You know, that standard here is the standard. So you got to make sure that you get people that want to perform to that standard and understand what your culture is and going into. L.A. is L.A. New York is New York. Don't try to be something you're not, but be the best thing that you are. Be the best version of you. This program has won championships and will again because of who they are, not trying to be somebody else, in my opinion.
What do you think, obviously you haven't been at Virginia Tech very long, but your input from other schools that you were at, what do you feel is the biggest hurdle or the biggest struggle with recruiting in the new rules and the new kind of framework of the world that we're living in?
Well, probably the biggest obstacle is that you don't get the amount of time that you used to get with a lot of these guys. The time is shrunk that you can get out and get in homes. You used to have several 4 or 5 home visits, that you could get to know the family. So relationships, your kids are more apt to go to more places. So there's less time spent with the places that they would probably narrow it down to. And you've got a lot of more hands in the pie right now. The fact of NIL money brings different people to the plate. So you have financial people, you have agents, you have trainers, you have other people that normally weren't in the mix as much. You know, you had more family members at that point. So it's created a unique dynamic that you got to address all that and be aware of it. It's not a bad thing. It's just something different. It creates a unique environment for you in the recruiting process where it used to not be that way.
We were talking to Coach Holt this morning, obviously the special teams coordinator and also doubles as the tight end coach. He said he's telling all his kids to go in, pop their head in the office, introduce themselves. And also he said, you're always good for a tidbit on maybe how to crisp up a route or I don't know, maybe what's your philosophy with that and how apt are you to just continually teaching, even though your role is primarily off the field, how do you feel you can still give your vast amounts of knowledge and kind of pass it down to the squad as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you're the OG on the staff, whether you're coaching on the field or off the field, experience is what gets you there as a teacher, you know, as a mentor and different things. So you want to share those relationships and experiences with having coached great players that have gone on to be Hall of Famers or won certain awards the guys want to win, or, you know, coaching in different levels. My dad was a coach, and so, you know, passing on those experiences. So I don't think that, you know, just because you're off the field doesn't limit you in sharing knowledge and experiences with those guys, because they want to know how much you care. You know, the kids really don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care. And once you invest time and your energy into these young men and other people in the program, that's where you benefit. And that's where the staff, Coach Pry, has built the staff on caring and people that care about each other, first of all. Then, you know, the players know that, see that. And once they see that, know you care about them, you can coach anybody, anywhere. So whether it's in NFL with, you know, Nelson Aguilar or Alshon Jeffries or Golden Tate, or doesn't matter. They just want to know that you're there for them, and, you know, you make them better, whether it's in high school, junior college, or, you know, whatever level at college.
Now, obviously, full transparency with you having been there just a few days, haven't seen the team in pads yet, but you've been around really high-end wide receivers before. Virginia Tech's got four coming back. They have a kind of a really deep room, probably the deepest room on paper they've had in a long time. What are your kind of top-level thoughts right now on Virginia Tech's wide receiver core?
Yeah, I would think that the room, first of all, is probably the best recruiting job I've seen of keeping that room in that room. You know, with the opportunities that all these young guys have, it speaks volumes for Coach Pry and the retention and the staff, what they've been able to do to keep the talent here. So the room is very deep, as you said, but it's also very experienced at the top end. So the top level are guys that have opportunities to win, you know, very special awards and ACC honors and All-American honors, but they're great teammates from what I've seen, you know, being around them a short period of time and listen to the coaches and staff meetings, what great kids and people they are. So you got different dynamics in that room. You got guys that are slot type receivers, you know, that are shifty and can make people miss and have that skill set. Then you have big, strong, physical guys, and you've got some guys with some length and different speed sets. So it's really a great group of guys that, you know, coach has been able to put in his receiver room. He's a phenomenal recruiter, and having gone against him over the years, I can tell you at different levels, whether it been JMU or him at East Carolina or he here, you know, what an awesome job he's done building that room along with the offensive staff and the, you know, recruiting staff here at VT. So it's a lot of talent on the offensive side, getting it to blend together. We'll find out here in spring real quick, you know, put the pads on what they're all about.
I'll kick it off here with a little bit of a fun question. You touched on it a little bit, but how was experiencing Enter Sandman and the chaos that that is before games on the other sideline? And what's almost the excitement level for you to kind of experience that coming up this fall?
Well, personally, to get the chance to run out on the other end of it is going to be exhilarating. You know, something that's a bucket list item. You always love to kind of play in certain arenas and be able to do certain things. You know, nighttime games always a little bit different than a daytime game. Been here, you know, on opposing sidelines at different times, different places. So to be on the other side, you know, the opponent is like, man, this is pretty cool. You know, you got the Cameron Crazies at Duke and basketball, and I've been in Carmichael and UNC and basketball and different stadiums in the pros and stuff like that. So this experience is one of those bucket list ones that's very hard. You know, some of the kids want to come out and see it just because experience it, and other ones it scares to death. Some coaches are like in awe, like, oh man, it's gonna be a tough environment, you know. It's gonna be pretty tough. I said, yep, this is what you play for right here though. This is the type of place that a kid, a parent, a recruit, a fan, somebody wants to sign up for. And you know, the hair stands up on the back of your neck, whether you're on the VT side or whether you're on the opponent's side, because the crowd brings it, the noise, the excitement. I mean, that entrance is, you know, second to none. So it is what it is.
Being someone that has spent a lot of time in North Carolina, and there's always a little bit of a rub in North Carolina and Virginia and surrounding areas, do you think North Carolina has the best barbecue out there, or is there another state that might have taken the crown?
Say that one more time. I lost you for just a second.
Do you think North Carolina has the best barbecue out there, or has another state taken the crown?
Oh, well, now you're getting into things where it depends on whether you like pork or beef. If you're into pork, which I am, well, I eat it all. You can tell by my size. I'm round. That's my best sport now is eating. So I'm all American there. I would say pork in North Carolina is pretty exceptional. The best brisket I've had has been in Texas. Of course, Texas claims everything being bigger, better, and everything else. But I have had some awesome brisket in Texas. But I've had barbecue pretty good everywhere I've been, including the state of Virginia. So, you know, everybody's got their claim to fame. I've probably spent more years in North Carolina than I have Virginia, obviously. So, but I promise you this, I'm not afraid to taste every tailgate, every barbecue joint from here to wherever I did. There was a place where Liberty is, that head coach actually I recruited at East Tennessee State, and Jamie does a great job at Liberty. I went to a spot over there that they took me to that was unbelievable. So I will say it's pretty darn good. So I'm going to keep trying it. I don't know that I have enough experience in Virginia to say one's better than the other, but I dang sure will give it a try.
Nice. I'll let you know a couple spots around here, but in your time, obviously recruiting, what was your biggest win? And on the other side of that coin, maybe a loss that stings.
That's easy. A loss that stings is right here. I don't know that I recruited anybody any harder, staff, university, you name it, than the Holyfield family with, Dax. And I mean, we pulled every plug. We did everything. You know, every trick I ever had, ever knew, everybody I could get involved. I mean, I can, and you can ask the family. I mean, couldn't recruit anybody any harder. And, that one hurt. That one hurt bad because I spent years, not just days or months, years recruiting that family and that young man. Great people. Obviously, he was a really good player here. Same thing with his brother and special family. So, you know, that one was pretty unique as far as that goes. And what was the other question?
The biggest win or one that was memorable.
There's quite a few in that one, but Quinshai Davis was a huge win for us. He's a receiver out of Gaffney, South Carolina, and it was a, you know, game day decision, go to the podium, you know, tell what school you're going to. That's back when you had people still do hats, t-shirts, everything else. So, you know, that one was a game changer for us at that particular point at Carolina. And not to bring up bad juju, he's the one who caught the winning pass here in Lane Stadium that won the ACC Coastal title for us at Carolina at that particular point. So, you know, to go in and beat Clemson and South Carolina and others, obviously, that was a very special moment. And, you know, he's a receiver coach at Georgia State and actually just got in high school ball, but great kid. And, you know, you always remember those.
All right. Well, Coach, we're going to leave it on this one. If you had one piece of advice to up-and-coming coaches that want to follow in your footsteps, what would it be?
On the funny side, or probably not funny to them, buy you a box truck, because you're probably going to be moving more than one time if you stay in this business, whether it be college, pro, or high school. So that part of it. And two, enjoy the journey. Be where your feet are. Doesn't matter whether you're coaching Pee Wee League, or you coach in NFL, you know, the thrill is a point of investing in kids, you know, whether they're grown or whether they're small, and living through them is their joy of accomplishing goals and feats that you may not have thought of ever, you know, happen, whether it's winning national championships with that experience or, you know, being in NFL playoffs, all of it's pretty special. So if you're a coach, you know, don't go into it for the money. It's great money now, but it wasn't that when you started. High school ball is not that way, neither is junior college or others. So go for it, the joy of being a great teacher, a great motivator, a developer, a talent, a mentor, and, you know, be there for those young men and women if you're a coach. And you'll get more out of it than you ever thought.
Coach, we appreciate you joining us today. Obviously, got a big hectic schedule about to embark on you here in a couple of days with spring ball and everything that entails. So we really appreciate it, and good luck this spring, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. And if there's anything we can ever do this way to help y'all, please reach out. And I look forward to, entering the Sandman and catching some of these great traditions that we have here, including barbecue.
Awesome. Get with Coach Quinn and find some places to eat. He'll keep you all right.
No doubt. No doubt. I'll do that.
All right. We appreciate you.
That's right.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount+.